The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt direct each and every word home to each and every heart this day, and that thou wilt deal with us in mercy and cause our hearts to rejoice in Christ. Bless each sin-sick soul, each individual who's struggling hard with sin. Draw them unto thyself by thy Spirit, and to make Christ precious and real to their hearts. For it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen.
Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of his own. For all sin
a blind man who walks in the darkness. I had longed, I had searched for the Lord. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night. For all things would change when he found me. For near day broke through all around me. For I met the Master.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My dear friends, we are praying for each and every one of you that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you, that God would work in each and every heart according to His will. This is our prayer. Did you write for your free book that we are offering this month? It'll be the last time today. It's entitled The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial by Walter J. Chantry, pastor of the Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He showed that the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles spoke of the cross as a principle of Christian experience as well as the chief symbol of God's love. He says belonging to Jesus Christ meant taking up the cross personally and living for Him rather than for ourselves. And I want you to have a copy of this little book to read then the quietness of your home, praying God will take the truths that are contained therein home to your heart, even as He did unto mine. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write for it, ask for it by name, The Shadow of the Cross. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We desire by the grace of God to conclude this series of messages today on the sin of hypocrisy or profession without life. We have for the past weeks been setting before you a warning against this sin of hypocrisy that leaves a man in the state of unreality with just lip profession, all brought on because of the false gospel of carnal Christianity that is being preached and practiced today. We've been showing you from God's Word that such a gospel is not the good news of the gospel of the grace of God as it is in Christ Jesus, because the false gospel makes every provision for a continuance in sin, while the gospel of Christ is the power of God into salvation, a deliverance from the power and dominion of sin as well as from the penalty of sin. Yes, in salvation, the power of sin is broken. It no longer reigns in the believer's life because now the grace of God reigns through righteousness. We've been showing you from the Word of God that if indeed you've been brought by the Holy Spirit to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then you've been made a new creature in Christ, and it is impossible to make sin the practice and rule of your life anymore. Why? Because we have been brought into that state of union with Christ. And according to 1 John 3:9, that seed, that nature which God gives to us in salvation, will abide with us forever. And therefore it is impossible for us to go back and to live in sin as once we did, because the power of it's been broken. Now I want you to listen to me one more time as we go over together this great eternal truth that we have been stressing so much in our past messages, and it is this: a Christian is one who is in Christ. And because he is in Christ, something's happened to him. He died with Christ. He was buried with Christ. He has risen with Christ. He is now alive unto God in Christ. And all of this because of his identification with Christ. And then because of this, the repenting, believing sinner has been freed from sin. Yes, it is something that has already happened. And my friend, this is true of everyone who is a Christian, who is a believer, who is a true child of God. We must never lose sight of this eternal fact. For herein lies our hope, our peace, and our assurance. Yes, our very salvation. We have been freed from sin. And all of this has been given us freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. This so great salvation that God has prepared for precious lost sinners. Listen to me now. There are those who would teach you that you can be a Christian, that is, that you can be justified, but that you are not set free from sin, because that is something that you arrive at later, but it is some future experience. But, my friend, that is not so. This is the false gospel of carnal Christianity that allows you to go on in sin, making excuses for sin, saying, well, it is not me that sins, but my old flesh that sins. This is the false gospel that lets you claim Jesus is your Savior, but does not demand that you bow to Him as Lord. In Romans 6:2, we read and continue to hear it throughout the sixth chapter, as we've been in that, that we have died to sin, so therefore we have been freed from the rule and the reign and the tyranny and the whole dominion of sin. And my friend, the key that gives you understanding of this is found in Romans 5:21, where we read that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So being dead to sin and freed from sin means that we are no longer in its realm or under its tyranny. We are entirely set free from sin and its power in the Lord Jesus Christ, into whose death we are baptized. You know, my friend, please do not get tired of me repeating these gracious truths, for I do it for your good. First to you who are truly saved, that you may know what you have in Christ, so that you may rejoice in Him. And then to you who are deceived by this false gospel of carnal Christianity, that you may by the grace of God recover yourselves out of the snare of the devil. Now for today, I desire to show you from God's Word one of the greatest reasons why the gospel of carnal Christianity is false. And it is this: because of our union with Christ. Yes, this puts the lie to the fact that we can still live after the flesh and say we are saved. You see, our union with Christ in all that He is and has done and is doing for us is the greatest reason for our holding out to the end in that persevering grace and faith that is given to us in salvation in Christ. Follow me now. I want you to get this gracious truth, one of the most gracious truths in God's Word. Listen. If the Word of God teaches anything, it teaches us that a true child of God in salvation has become identified with Christ and has been united to Him in an unchanging and unbroken union. You see, in this matter of union with Christ, the Scriptures tell us that Christ Himself is very interested. For we read these words from our Lord's high priestly prayer in John 17. And this is what He said: neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. So we see here that our blessed Lord prayed for this union with His people which he purchased for them upon the cross. We see also that this prayer has been answered, for in salvation we become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Scriptures declare that this union is of God the Father, for we read in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Yes, the Father purposed and planned it from eternity. The Son prayed for it and purchased it upon the cross. And then 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 declares that the Holy Spirit has made it effective in the heart and life of each one of God's children. Watch it now. All three of the Godhead have entered into this covenant of grace, whereby we are brought into union with Christ. The Father purposed it and planned it from eternity. The Son prayed for it and purchased it upon the cross. And then the Holy Spirit makes it effective in the heart and life of every one of God's children. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12. "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one body, by one Spirit." Here we have in plain words that we who are saved have been baptized or put into one body, and that body is Christ. So we see then that we are united to Christ, who is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, according to Ephesians 1:22. So this gives the lie to the sin of hypocrisy, profession without life, empty religious profession, unreality, that a child of God can walk year after year without any reality of Christ in his soul at all. Oh no! How can he be united to the head and know the head and he is the body and not know that he is united to that head? My friend, this is union. And God does this in salvation. Let's go a little further with this spiritual union in Christ. And let us show you from Romans 7:4 that it is spoken of as a marriage union. Listen. "Wherefore, my brethren, as ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Oh, how precious this is to me. Married to Christ, given to him in the spiritual bonds of matrimony, never to be divorced or separated, because we have been joined together in that inseparable union of love. And for what reason? That we should bring forth fruit unto God, and this fruit is holiness. Then, my friend, I ask the question, how can I, who have been joined to Christ in that holy union of spiritual love, who have pledged myself to him for time and eternity, who have made him my choice forever, who have left all other lovers to cleave only unto him as long as I live, yes, I ask, how can I think of, much less practice, spiritual adultery? It is unthinkable, because it is impossible. He has won my heart with his dying love. He has won my heart with the power of his resurrection. He has won my heart by all his love gifts to my soul. And dear friend, he keeps me by his continued high priestly work within the veil. And I have his promise that he is coming to receive me unto himself, that where he is, there will I be also throughout eternity. In lieu of all of this, I ask the question again. Can I ever leave him? Will he ever leave me so that I again will be under the rule of sin? And the answer is no, because he has pledged himself to get me home at last without spot or blemish, and to present me spotless before the Eternal Father, who himself chose me to be the bride of his Son forever, according to Jude 24. My friend, this to me is shouting ground, because I have his word for it, that having redeemed my never-dying soul from the pit of hell, and snatching me from the captivity of Satan, he shall hold me to himself forever and ever, and will never let me go. You ask me, Pastor, how? By his constraining, loving power, he has fenced me in, and he holds me by this power of grace, this reigning power of grace, forever and forever. You see, my dear friend, this all holds true in the physical life. I love my wife. And if I love her, then I do not need another. If I have forsaken all others just for her, then I am satisfied and content to be with her, and that until death do us part. Oh, that Christendom would see this great truth today, that just as true love holds the husband and wife, and they are true to each other, so in the spiritual true love to Christ holds us true to him in that marriage vow taken at salvation. Remember the words of Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And my friend, if this is true in the physical, and it is, rest assured that it is true in the spiritual also. This truth again is brought out in James 4:4 in these words. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Yes, God will judge the spiritual adulterers and adulterers who claim to be married to Christ and yet prostitute their love in the lust of sin. My friend, what God is saying here is that you are not saved if you live in sin. You are his enemy and abide under his wrath. You desire to be with him above all other lovers. I desire to be with my wife for 40 years. You know why? I love her. Believe it or not, I still thrill to her touch. I love to kiss her lips. I love to hold her in my arms and tell her how much I love her. Why? Because we have been drawn together in this holy state of matrimony. And beloved, this is the same way in the spiritual. God draws us unto himself and marries us to Christ. And we are satisfied with Christ in that spiritual relationship with him. We thrill to his touch. We still love to come into his presence. We still love to sit at his feet. We still love to praise his name. We still love to rejoice in his love. We still love to look to him by faith, knowing that he is our all and in all. He is our life. He died for us, paid our sin debt in full, and I love to be with him. And my friend, as if all of these scriptures were not enough proof of the impossibility of the carnal Christianity being true, that false heresy, let me give you these scriptures which are further proof that we are married to Christ and that we are in him. In 1 Corinthians 2:16 we find written that the child of God, the Christian, has the mind of Christ. Therefore he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, we find written that the child of God has the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. In Romans 8:35, we find written that the child of God has the love of Christ. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. Or as 2 Corinthians 5:14 puts it, the love of Christ constrains me. It holds me. Again, in Colossians 3:4, it is written that the child of God has the very life of Christ in him. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. My friend, listen to the one that saved for last. It is found in Colossians 2:10. Ye are complete in Christ, Therefore, the child of God will not make sin the practice and rule of his life, because he is complete in Christ and needs none other or nothing else to make him joyous, happy, content, and satisfied while he awaits his lover from heaven. Yes, the Bible is full of reasons why the true child of God will not make sin the rule and practice of his life, and that he does not live in the sin of hypocrisy, or does he have mere lip profession, for he is dead, he is in Christ, and therefore dead to the life of sin. He is married to Christ, therefore is bound in the law of love and matrimony. He is in Christ, and therefore he is alive and has the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, the love of Christ, yea, the very life of Christ dwelling in him by the Holy Spirit. So I say again, based upon the authority of God's Word, that the child of God, those saved by the grace of God, will not walk in a life of hypocrisy, in unreality. They will not walk in mere lip profession. They do not believe in, nor have part with, the gospel of carnal Christianity, which is a heresy, because the true gospel of the grace of God in Christ has given us so much more. It has given us the power of the grace of God, and this gospel has delivered us from the law of sin and death, and has caused us to walk in newness of life. I say glory, hallelujah. Praise unto our risen Lord for such a gospel, such a redemption, such a deliverance that sets us free in Christ Jesus to walk in newness of life and in the light as God our Father is in the light, and has set us in heavenly places in himself, that we might have fellowship with our triune God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus lets us live in heaven while yet we are still upon this earth. Why? Because heaven begins on earth. My friend, do you know anything about this gospel that sets you free from the law of sin and death? Have you been married to Christ? If you have, you know it. It's a life of reality. And I praise God for it. You want a copy of these messages, and we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid if you will write us. Also ask for the free book we're giving away this month entitled The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.